Hello, and welcome to worship on this 11th Sunday after Pentecost as we make our way through the summer. We are so delighted that you have decided to join in worshiping with us today. If you have a practice of lighting a candle when you worship, I invite you to join me in lighting your candle now as I light ours here in the sanctuary. As we remember together that Jesus is the light of the world and that he is also the light for our world. Will you join me in prayer? O bread of heaven, come down. Come down and fill us with your spirit, for your spirit satisfies like no other. We hunger and thirst for you this morning and long to be nurtured in your love and your forgiveness. So we come to this sacred time when our hungers are finally and fully satisfied, as only your bread can do. We wait and listen for your leading in this hour. Amen.
Would you pray with me the prayer of confession today? Tender, loving God, have mercy on us. Like David, we have been greedy, grasping for what is not ours, even though we have enough. We have forgotten your promise that you will fill us with the bread of life. Like the crowd that followed Jesus to Capernaum, yet did not understand what he had given them. We seek bread for our bodies more than we seek the bread of heaven. Forget our sins and take away our guilt. Purge us with hyssop and we shall be clean. Tender, loving God, have mercy on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, the good news is when we repent, God creates a new heart in us and puts a right spirit within us. In this way, in the name of Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
Today's reading is taken from the book of John, Chapter 6, verses 35 to 51. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. The Jews, therefore, were grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread of life that came down out of heaven. And they were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I came down out of heaven? Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that any man has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
There were so many lessons I learned in theological school. Of course, there were the formal lessons that came in the content of all of the classes that we took. But equally as important and formative were those less formal, more spontaneous lessons that came. For me, some of those stand out as much or more than the others. And today I want to share one of them with you, because I think it has something to do with what we see Jesus dealing with in this section from John's Gospel. So it happened one day when we were on a coffee break. A group of us were standing talking with one of our professors, and one of my fellow students was explaining a pastoral situation he had encountered. In the course of his explanation, he said that he was fairly certain that one of the people involved was not a Christian. Well, I will never forget the moment, because our professor stopped him right there and said, "Hang on. How do you know that? Only Jesus knows that for sure. Have you asked him?" Our professor had made his point. Trying to figure out the faith status of another person can generally be a bit of a mug's game. Being the good teacher that he is, he recognized that this was a teachable moment, and he took the time to impart to us some valuable pastoral wisdom. He suggested to us that instead of trying to focus on where we think people might be at, we might be better to try to get a feel for what direction they're moving in relative to Jesus. Does this person seem to be moving closer to Jesus, or do you have the sense that they're drawing away from him? He explained that focusing on this idea of movement is generally more helpful for a pastor. It helps us to figure out how to better support and encourage people as they try to live out their faith. Well, if we had been cartoons, we would have all had those little light bulbs over our head, you know, as if it's finally come on, because we all stood there and we went, "Right, of course." Because it makes so much sense. Despite how it's often presented, faith is not one clear point that we arrive at as if we can say, "Okay, I'm here and I've arrived and here I will stay." It doesn't work that way. Regardless of how long you've been at this, if you spend any time trying to follow Jesus, you know this. Faith is meant to be dynamic and alive. At the risk of employing a very much overused term, faith truly is a journey. And because of that, as we live out our faith, we are always moving in one direction or another. Sometimes I am keenly aware that I am drawing closer to Jesus. And other times, if I am brave enough to be honest with myself, I know that I'm moving away from him, whether it's intentionally or because I'm just drifting away because I'm not putting very much effort into staying connected. We all have times when we're either drawing closer or maybe not so much. That's just part of the life of faith. And so my teacher that day was encouraging us as pastors to put our energies into trying to get a sense of the direction people are moving in, so that we can figure out how to best support and help them to follow Jesus more closely. Well, that spontaneous lesson was absolutely invaluable, and I was actually reminded of it as I was wrestling with this passage. it occurred to me that this is actually what we see Jesus doing in this sixth chapter of John. He's being pursued by crowds. You'll remember that he just fed 5,000 people, well, more than that, actually, with bread and fish, and they wanted more, so they were following him around wherever he went. In the first part of our reading, he's actually speaking to those crowds. And then in the second part, he turns his attention and he focuses on a smaller group of people who were actually grumbling. They were objecting to some of the claims Jesus was making. As we heard, he tried to help the crowds to see that he had something much better for them than bread and fish. He said to them, "I am the bread of life." He wanted them to see that he had life for them, and all they needed to discover that life was believe and trust in him. The people in those crowds were quite literally moving towards Jesus, and I suspect more than a few of them were probably figuratively moving closer to him as well. Well, in the later verses, he speaks to those people who were complaining about him. And you have the distinct impression in this section that this group are not moving towards Jesus. Quite the opposite, actually. They're pushing away, in fact, actively distancing themselves from him. My professor was so right. Movement is so much a part of this life with Christ, and it is important for us to know this and to watch for it in our own lives and in the lives of others we care about. Well, the flow throughout this whole chapter gives a great sense of this dynamic, both of movement towards and movement away from Jesus. And while we can't determine any one clear reason why people sometimes do distance themselves from him, in this reading, Jesus tells us clearly what draws us, prompts us even, to move closer. He says it in verse 44. He says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them." It turns out that any movement we make towards Jesus doesn't begin with us. It begins with God, who is gently drawing us to it. So while it might seem in the moment to us like the first step that we are taking is entirely our idea, the truth is that our decision to take that step is actually a response to a gentle invitation God is giving us, an invitation to come closer. Sometimes we're aware of that invitation and other times we're not, but regardless of our level of awareness, it is still there. God is drawing us and he's hoping that we'll respond. This whole reality I've been describing is actually a foundational understanding in Christian spiritual formation. God draws, God invites. As we grow in our faith, we become more adept at recognizing these invitations that God gives, and we become more aware that each step of growth that we take is actually initiated in this way. And wonderfully, we actually can learn to watch for and follow God's leading as the Holy Spirit gently guides us in the next step of our journey, deepening and strengthening our trust in Christ. Well, I need to be clear and to say that while God always extends these invitations, it is entirely up to us to respond. In love, God leaves the choice up to us, and he patiently waits, hoping that we will respond. I wonder if you can see examples of this dynamic of God drawing you closer as you look back over your own life. Can you see times when you actually recognize that something like that was happening? And do you remember how you responded, or perhaps didn't? It's true that we can sometimes resist this drawing God has for us. I can tell you stories of times I know I resisted. I know full well I did, sometimes for a fairly long time. But in my experience, God rarely stops trying. The gentle nudge comes around again, and you have this sense of God whispering, "Are you ready now?" Perhaps you even have a sense that God might be drawing you in some way today. Is the Spirit inviting you to grow in your faith in some way? Maybe it's an invitation to a new depth of connection with God in some form. Or perhaps it involves deepening your relationships with others. Or God may be inviting you to reflect His love in this world in a new way for you. As you think about this, you might want to take some time to talk with God about it in prayer. Are you ready to respond and to move closer? Here's one of the incredible things about God. If you aren't quite there yet, God's not going anywhere. He's endlessly patient. And because of His absolute love for you, He will wait. Having said that, I'm also absolutely certain that God is hoping with His whole heart that you will respond, that you will answer His call to come closer. Amen.
Good morning. It's a privilege to pray with you this morning and lead us in the prayers of the people. Please pray with me. Jesus, you are the bread of life, our steadfast teacher, our constant supporter. You with the Father and the Spirit sustain us. Thank you for your gifts of love, nurture, and grace. We give thanks for the progress being made to bring peace to the world, and still there is so much more to do. Show us how we can contribute in our own communities and families to foster right relationships that encourage and strengthen. Teach us how to step away from criticizing and complaining. These only push others away. Show us how we can encourage leaders locally and globally to work together for good and for peace. Please continue to instill wisdom and compassion within our leaders. We ask your blessing on all who are suffering from illness and despair. We call on your healing, Jesus, for those who are physically or mentally ill, who suffer daily from addiction, and for those who have experienced past and recent trauma. Lord, we pray for our First Nation brothers and sisters who bear the unbearable grief of discovering more and more unmarked graves. Give us hearts to embrace the suffering of the communities who have lost children and have never known where they've gone, when they died, and where they may be buried. We pray for all affected by the wildfires this summer. We pray for all who grieve and have lost family and friends under every circumstance. Please pray silently or aloud for those on your hearts. Jesus, we give thanks for this community and for this amazing part of creation we are privileged to call home. Give us hearts to build our community and to use our resources wisely. During this summer of so many hot days, encourage us to care for your creation better and to work together to slow climate change. We give thanks that we can share where we live with others from BC, other provinces and territories, and other countries. Encourage us to welcome visitors. Bless all the dedicated volunteers and disciples who reach forward to help, including through community meals, hospice, seniors care, child care, and so much more. So many from within and beyond St. Stephen's show your face of love, Jesus. Bless our minister Diane and all the staff who support ministry here at St. Stephen's. May they feel rest during this summer period. We ask that you bring rest to all first responders and especially those who fight the forest fires and to all those who serve in our hospitals and clinics. They have all carried a disproportionately heavy load. Refresh them. Keep them safe. Now would you please join me in saying the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We thank you for your faithful giving to the mission and ministry of St. Stephen's, as well as to the Mission and Service Fund of the United Church of Canada. Please pray with me the prayer over these gifts. As we offer our gifts and lives in this moment, may we become imitators of you, gracious God, who holds nothing back from us, but is gracious and generous with all that is yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen.